Well, it's great to be back here with you guys.
Hey, guys. Good to see y'all.
This is my beautiful wife, Liz.
Hi.
I married way up. And she has an amazing message to share with y'all, so I'm going to just say a couple things and get out of her way. But yeah, like as Pastor Mike mentioned, we just got back from the Dominican Republic. We took about 30 people from 9 different churches and from 5 different cities. That joined up with the largest missions team in history of 2,500 missionaries from 5 different continents around the world.
And 30 of those people on our team, out of 30 of them, 22 is their first time to go overseas.
Yes, ever.
So 22 first-timers. Pretty exciting.
So, so with that, they're pretty hooked.
Yeah.
And they got the missions bug, for sure. and they're totally on fire for Jesus. You know, when you leave and go serve God in another country and come back, you actually serve your home city a lot better. I've always seen that, and what I mean by that is you just start recognizing all the needs and all the people that need Jesus right here at home.
It's true.
And so that's why it's so important to go. That's why Jesus said to go and come back, so you can be a better witness right here at home. And so
definitely.
We had about 400, I think the number was, across the nation that was reached with the gospel was
402,266.
Yes, big number. I can't
big
even
number.
Say it. that was reached with the gospel, that were met in person, mm-hmm. that were that accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. And so there is still post.
And that's just the reported number, too.
That
so
is just,
probably more.
Yeah, that is just the reported mm-hmm. number. So we'll be doing follow-up outreaches, follow-up trainings with pastors and leaders. Mm-hmm. When One Nation one day was in Honduras, the Goliath of that country for that mission was violence. Mm-hmm. That was the thing that was really needed to be overcome. Mm-hmm. The Goliath in the Dominican Republic for the last 18 months, which was such a warfare and thing that we had to overcome, which we called was unity. Mm-hmm. The Goliath was unity. In other words, there was no unity mm-hmm. among pastors and spiritual leaders in the Dominican Republic. And so one of the things that sustainability to create that movement going, we had to create unity among pastors. We had to get mm-hmm. these guys working together so they can serve their city and serve the country better. Mm-hmm. That was the uphill battle.
Yeah.
And we're happy to say that battle has been won. Mm-hmm. The pastors are working together more
yes.
than ever. Mm-hmm. They had grasped the vision of what we were trying to accomplish, mm-hmm. and they are working together to see these 400,000 people now get plugged into their local churches and start discipling and that sort of thing. So mm-hmm. it's great. Well, I'm going to get out of the way. I just got back from Houston yesterday, met with Pastor Joel Osteen over there, mm-hmm. had some great times. We are now actually part of his network of pastors, and he got to hear our vision for our ministry, got to spend about 10 minutes or so with him. And God's just doing some awesome things, opening
yeah.
a lot of doors, and we're just excited to be alive in 2015.
Yeah.
So
Amen.
Awesome.
So
my
true.
Beautiful wife, Liz, is going to share and talk and just do your thing, honey.
Thanks, David. Well, hi, you guys. I'm so glad that we're back here. We just love your pastors. We really do. You guys do about it good. So we are super excited to be back here with y'all again. Let me tell you a little bit about me. I feel like you get a little bit of the intro of who I am from David and a little bit of the stories through the DR as well. But I am obviously wifey to David, and I am puppy mama to our sweet little rescue dog, Bauer. And yes, if you do know the TV show 24, that is where we got the name. David is very much a fanatic of 24, so Bauer it was. I am also a second-generation American. And I grew up speaking 3 different languages, but I prefer English because that's the one I can speak the best. That doesn't mean it's perfect, but it's the best. And during my work hours, I'm in South Austin most of the time. I'm the director of a counseling center in South Austin at a church called Austin Oaks Church. And at that church, I provide clinical Christian counseling that specializes in neuropsychiatry and also spiritual growth, bringing the two together, honoring who God has made us as humans and as filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can go forth without any hindrances. And when I'm not counseling, I'm often doing training. and also inspiring and motivating people to be the people that Christ has created us to be. Amen. So that's just a tiny little bit about me. I'm obviously very much of an ordinary person, but I have an extraordinary God who loves to equip me with purpose and with power, and that is who we all are as well, and that is who our God is. Amen. So a little bit about what I'd like to talk about tonight kind of ties into what we've been doing in the DR, but it also ties into who I believe God has created me to be and the calling God has put on my life. So I want to talk tonight out of the book of Isaiah. We're going to be looking specifically at chapter 42 and then focusing on chapter 16. I just love the book of Isaiah. Can I tell you that? So I will get super excited when I'm talking about the Word of God, but much even more when I'm talking about the book of Isaiah. And the book of Isaiah is one of my favorites. I know you're not supposed to have favorites, but I totally do. So tonight, as we're talking out of the book of Isaiah, we're going to talk about when ordinary people love boldly. Yes. When ordinary people love others as God has guided us to love, we bring extraordinary power, don't we? And we bring eternal hope and current transformation into any situation. Do y'all believe that? Do you believe that God can do that in and through you? Yeah, I do too. So you probably, as you think about this idea of boldly loving well, you probably have people in your life that right now you're coming alongside them and loving them well. There's lots of ways that we love people well. In the book of Isaiah, it talks about four different things within these scriptures. So we're going to break these down. So my hope, as we walk out of here tonight, you will have four specific ways that you can remember, how has God asked me to love well? And what has God said about that, that I can do that in my everyday life? Sound good? So this kind of training that we're going to go through tonight is much less training as it is just a reminder of your identity in Christ, the authority you have based on the scripture of God, and the power of God working in and through you every day in your ordinary days. But it also is tied into a course that we created called Coming Alongside. I know the heart of your pastors is to create equippers to help you to be, as Pastor Mike prayed, to be the people that God has created you to be. So this is another resource that we have as well. So as we talk about this, we're going to focus on not just loving people well generally, but also loving people well in the midst of crisis, in the midst of hurt or pain, or some sort of thing that has created some distress. This is kind of the world in which I live as a counselor and a coach, so I'm quite familiar with this area. You're probably familiar with it with some relationships in your life too, right? So as we do this, we probably encounter people, and as we encounter these people, we often have hindrances that kind of get in the way, don't we? Three of the most typical, I would say, are not enough time. Typically, this happens to me in the grocery store. No, I should say it always happens to me in the grocery store because I am a mission shopper. I am not your typical female. I want to get in. I want to get out. I want to get on my way. You know what I'm saying? So when I'm in the grocery store, it never fails. Obviously, I love to talk to people, so I'm just going to talk to somebody who smiles at me, and I'm just going to say, hey, how you doing? How's your day going? 20 minutes later, in my head, I am thinking, oh my God, I have no time for this. But in my heart and in my spirit, I am so excited because here's another person I can just be with just in a couple of minutes, even over the produce section, you know? Or maybe the hindrance is not time for you. Maybe you have lots of time, and God bless you for that. And as you have lots of time, maybe the hindrance might be not knowing what to say, or not knowing how to say it, or maybe just feeling a little uncomfortable saying what you know God is telling you to say. Any of that sound familiar? Or maybe the hindrance might be the hindrance of thinking ahead and thinking, if I get involved with this person who just shared this with me, eventually I'm going to have to share my story too. So my stuff might get in the way of actually engaging and loving well. Any of that kind of familiar for anyone too? So there are hindrances, of course. We know those are there. To boldly love, though, I think first requires that we engage with God. So let's go ahead and jump into the goodness of the Word of God and talk about what Isaiah has to say for us. So looking at Isaiah 42, verse 16, I'm going to read this time out of the Message Bible because I think it's just a fun little version, and I like some of the words that Peterson uses in the Message here. So verse 16, if you have it, follow along in your own version. But I'll take the hand of those who don't know the way, who can't see where they're going. I'll be a personal guide to them, directing them through unknown country. I'll be right there to show them what roads to take, make sure they don't fall into the ditch. These are the things I'll be doing for them, sticking with them, not leaving them for a minute. The Word of God is so good, isn't it? So as we read in Isaiah, we read of this love of God. We read here how much God wants to be close to us and be present with us and even touch us by taking our hand. If you spent any time in church or in the Bible, you know this love of God and how God has given this love to us. He's given us this power and his truth to go forward as well, right? So you're familiar with this. I mean, you guys are here on a Wednesday night. You're obviously the passionate group. So I'm glad to be a part of that too. And we also see in the book of Isaiah that it talks of God's servant who will set everything right. In fact, in some versions, that's the chapter heading on this portion right here, God's servant who sets everything right. We find ourselves in this book and in this story in on the actual operations of God. We are no bystanders here. We are no, oh God, what are you up to here? In this, we are not talking about them. We are actually acting with God. In this section, one thing I love about this section and why this is the guiding section for my ministry as a counselor and a coach is that in this section, we take the ordinary things of life. We take the often disappointing things of life. And we look at it through this lens and we see how God can take the ordinary and the disappointing and turn it into something not only hopeful, but fruitful. Anybody here want something hopeful and fruitful today? Yeah, me too. And lastly, one thing I love about the book of Isaiah is that it doesn't merely convey information. The book of Isaiah creates vision. It delivers revelation. And it actually arouses belief. When I think about that, I literally get chills. Okay, so anybody here, I just want to check in. Anybody here ready for God to give you vision? Anybody ready for God to reveal his ways to you? Oh, yes, please. And what about increasing your belief? You need a little belief increaser tonight? Yeah, okay. So, book of Isaiah, boom. Okay, so as we do this, like I said, I think there's four different things we can look at in here. I think, first of all, we can see that God is a God who engages with us. So as we come alongside and love others, we need to engage with them. Secondly, I think we see also that we will develop, and we need to develop ways to respond. So we'll talk about that. Third, as we go through these verses, we also see that we need to manage our rhythm and our pace of helping and caregiving. And fourth, we need to understand our support connections too. So engaging in this first section here where God says, I'll take the hand of those who don't know the way, who can't see where they're going. God takes our hand. That right there is enough to just make me just pause and be so grateful and say, God, thank you so much. You actually take my hand. I need that. In counseling, we talk about love languages. One of my love languages is physical touch. I love it that God will take my hand and hold on to me. That's huge. So for us to actually love well and to come alongside someone else, we need to have that connection with God. We know this intellectually, we know this practically, but functionally and in your daily theology, how much do you actually say, God, take my hand? It's not just that song of Jesus, take the wheel. It is, God, I need you to take my hand. I need you to lead me right now. I need you to hug me. I need you to touch me and let me know you are tangible and you are with me. Amen? So we engage first with God. As we engage with God, that is where the engagement with others best flows out of. Of course, there are times when somebody knocks on the door, texts us, or calls us, or we run into someone. We don't have time to really say, God, I just need to be still with you and have a moment with you, you and me, just here. Sometimes it's just, it has to come out of what has been there, right? We read in some of the Gospels where it talks about how God says that we live and we love out of what we have received. So when we have received from God this engagement, when we have received from God this touch, then we are able to then offer that with even much more depth, much more intimacy, and also much more confidence. So we see that engagement there. I certainly don't want to do anything at all ever without God going before me, God staying with me, and the Holy Spirit filling me up constantly, consistently, more and more. Please, may it happen every day. Engaging others must come after we engage with God, after we receive that touch from God. And then when we first engage people, it might not be the physical touch, because that might be weird and awkward and slightly inappropriate in some situations. But we sometimes engage others and touch them with our eyes. Or we touch them with our words. Our words might come alongside them and help them recognize, I'm with you. I'm here. Presence is so powerful, that presence of engaging and being there with that other person. So we see this in Isaiah. I'll take the hand of those who don't know the way. We engage with God, then we engage with others. After we engage, I believe we can love well by next developing our resources. So where do we see this in here? Well, Isaiah talks about, I will be a personal guide to them. I will direct them through unknown country. A few years ago, I got the great blessing to backpack backcountry through the Grand Canyon. A team and I, we went in there, we were there in the country, in the Grand Canyon, in the depths, on the heights, for over a week. It was glorious. I remember as we were in the Grand Canyon, we started realizing you can't really see the path. What you see in some of the areas are just stacks of rocks. And the stacks of rocks tell you if you need to turn to the right or to the left. And how do stacks of rocks tell you? Well, people have gone before. They have gone before us on that unknown path, and they have shown us the way. So even as our GPS was a bit off, or if we decided, let's chuck the GPS and just see if the trail still leads us the way. Yeah, we're those people. As we go along, we realize it was guiding us on this unfamiliar path. The other thing I think about with this, and I flash back to the Grand Canyon, is when we had these amazing trail guides. And Keith was one of our trail guides. And Keith, his whole mantra was, the whole team walks at the pace of the person who needs the rest. So that personal guide was, he knew every one of us on the team. There were seven of us in that team, and he knew each and every one of us personally enough to know when we needed a break, or when we could take a little bit more, or when one of us could take the other person's pack for a while. So God here is saying, I will be a personal guide to them. I will know your limits. I will know when I can push you a little bit more. I will know when I can lead you on places you might be a little bit uncertain about. So with God doing this for us, then as we come alongside and boldly love others, we do the same thing. We say, I'm in this with you. Your mess is not unknown to me because I'm here with you. Your mess is not too much for me because our God is in it with us together. As we walk through this unknown country of your new normal after the pain, after the crisis, or maybe just after you've shifted jobs, and gosh, it's tiring trying to figure out the new schedule. I'm in this with you. You're not alone. And I will walk with you. I will help you find the way, because I will help you find the guide that will actually lead you every single step of the way. The other thing I love about this, that Isaiah says that I will be right there to show them what roads to take and to make sure they don't fall in the ditch. So as we're walking alongside and we're boldly loving others in the midst of our daily grind or in the midst of their pain or crisis, we are doing these two things as well. We are not only guiding them, we are not only with them, but we are also saying, okay, I'll show you different roads that you have options to take. I'll help you see which one might be a better fit for you right now. And I'll also help you see where not to go as well. A lot of times when we're walking with other people, especially at the counseling center, we're walking with people through the midst of some really painful, some really crazy, some really upsetting situations. We're helping them in these unknown places. And we're asking them, what is it you need right now, and how can we help you? We're also recognizing that there are things that will come back. Like Isaiah says here, make sure they don't fall into the ditch. My dad used to say, and maybe you've heard this too, that a ditch is basically just a grave with the ends cut out of it. You heard that before? It's not a pretty picture. And when we think about a ditch in the context of coming alongside or loving other people well, a ditch could be something like those repeat behaviors. God is currently healing that hurt or that habit or that hang up for that person. So there's some repeat thoughts or some repeat behaviors that are still being transformed. Because while sometimes healing is immediate, often sometimes the process of walking through those changes is that process of sanctification that we learn of in Scripture. So when we're walking with someone and we say, hey, look out for this ditch, we're actually saying, hey, you remember you've thought about that before? You remember how badly it turned out the last time? Don't go there that again. It's just a ditch. It won't get you anywhere. And oftentimes, when we're walking with someone who's in pain or crisis or someone who's in a place where they just need to feel some love, there's that repeat need for hearing their identity, for hearing that you are a person of God. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are an overcomer. You are mightier than this. You do have the power to walk in this. This is who you are, because this is who your God is. So oftentimes, as we're boldly loving, helping people not fall into a ditch, but walk in the right paths instead, often doesn't mean saying, hey, look out for that, don't fall in that. It often says, no, take your focus over here, put it on the author and perfecter of your faith, put it on your identity, remember who you are in Christ, walk in that. That is where you want to be going. And then we don't even think about this anymore. Have you ever taught a kid to ride a bike? Or have you ever been on a horse and you're trying to figure out how to teach that horse how to go? Well, I've done both. I grew up in the country and the city. So one thing that I remember from teaching a child how to ride a bike is you don't want to tell the kid, hey, look out for the mailbox, or don't run into the bush over there, because what are they going to do? Exactly, they're going to run into the bush, because that's how the brain works. God has designed our brains to be so powerful that if you give it an idea or even a nugget of an idea, it will attach to that and run with it. So when you tell a kid, hey, don't hit the bush or don't run into the mailbox, you're actually saying to their brain, hey, go for it. That's your target. So when you're walking with someone or when you want to love someone well and you're helping them avoid the ditch and showing them what roads to take, it's most beneficial to say, hey, let's remember who you are. Let's keep our focus on where you're actually going. Let's remind ourselves of our vision, of what our next steps are. And our first place, our first step to get there. Because that will actually create much more momentum. It will actually keep them on the path, not only of moving forward, but escalating into the true identity of who they are in Christ and walking in that power. And then it's like, what ditch? So we engage with God, we engage with others, and we develop these ways of actually walking with them one step at a time. Developing, though, also includes increasing our understanding. There's several things that we can increase in our understanding. One of them is increasing our understanding of human nature. Scripture talks a lot about how to love one another. In those verses, there's a lot of insight into how God created us as humans and what our typical human nature likes to think, how it likes to function. As we understand more personalities, too, we understand how people process. David and I are fairly similar in our personality types. Christian counselors will often help you figure out your personality type based on certain theories. And those personality types are there to help you understand how one person processes versus how another person processes, and would those processes together be a good match. So when we're thinking about human nature and we're thinking about walking alongside someone who's in pain or crisis, if we can understand how they process, we can help them connect the dots faster to get back to that place of, who am I? Who is God? Can I trust him? Do I like him? What do I even think about what he's doing? But if you understand more of human nature and how God has wired each of us to process somewhat uniquely, somewhat similarly, then you can help them engage even faster in their relationship with God. Does that make sense? So I think this is one way that we can develop our understanding, is understanding more of our human nature process. Of course, we definitely want to increase our understanding and our identity in Christ. I heard Pastor Mike talk about the John Bevere study. If you guys know John and Lisa Bevere, they are rock stars in helping you understand your identity in Christ. And they are also amazing in helping you understand your authority in Scripture and your power through and by the Word of God. We love the Beveres. So I think that's a wonderful place to continue to develop that understanding. Understanding also comes in basic communication tools. When you're working with someone, especially someone of a different age than you, so for example, when I'm working with adolescents, it's very important for me to understand body language. When I'm working with an adolescent, I don't want to lean forward and say, hey, tell me what's going on. Let's talk about this. I'm really into this right now. Because for an adolescent, okay, how many have teenagers in here? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. So you don't want to do that, because it shuts them down right away. But instead, if your body language for an adolescent is a little bit aloof, a little bit kind of set apart, actually they take that as, oh, you're really into this, you're really listening. But if you do that with an adult, communicates the absolute opposite. So body language is fairly important. Gathering that understanding of body language could definitely help as you develop your skills on how to engage others well. If you do any kind of cross-cultural work, this is incredibly important as well. David and I travel to several different countries of the world, not to mention some of the other little cultural pockets in our Austin and metro areas too. And David has engaged with my family that is multicultural as well, trying to understand their different language differences just in the way they look, talk, and hold out their hands, basically. So understanding body language is probably another really helpful way to engage with others. All of this developing brings you back to this place where, how can I really engage with you so that you will engage with the God who really does love you and really is with you? So engaging with God and others, developing those responding skills. And then thirdly, in Isaiah, we read on, and he talks of, these are the things I'll be doing for them. These are the things I'll be doing for them. I think this is incredibly important. Just as important as engaging with God is understanding that as we love others well, that doesn't mean taking on their stuff. Right? If I were to take on someone else's stuff, whatever that stuff is, their emotions, their thoughts, their experience of whatever's going on, I can't really help that well. There's a difference between empathy and sympathy. Sympathy in ministry work and sympathy in coming alongside someone to help them engage with God will kill you. Because sympathy is that experience of, I really get it. I've been there before. I'm feeling this as you're talking. In fact, as you're sharing your experience with me, I'm going back there to mine too, and I'm feeling it right now. My brain's totally back there. All of a sudden, you're not really with that person. That's why sympathy is not that helpful. But empathy is what we see Christ giving. Empathy is that power-packed way to engage with others so that they'll see the empathy and the compassion of their God for them. Empathy says, you know what? I don't really understand what you're talking about, but I want to. I don't really feel what you're feeling, but I'm with you. I don't actually need to have done what you've done to understand the depths of what you're going through, but I can be with you in it. And I can show you the God who loves you even as you're in it. Do you see what I mean? The difference between sympathy and empathy. Sympathy, it's great in a marriage. It's great in a relationship with kids. It's great in those intimate relationships. But when you're coming alongside someone for the purpose of engaging them to the God who loves them beyond all love, sympathy is not the best option. Empathy, though, you see how it breeds and it builds and it creates that fruitfulness and that opportunity to stay engaged with God but still be connected with that person. You see what I mean? So if I have any way to help you, that is my first big way of saying, please choose empathy and not sympathy. Because if you want to go the distance, that's the way to actually stay connected and engaged with others and with God. So going back to this verse, these are the things I'll be doing for them. In this, we recognize, first of all, that there's so much that God is going to be doing for them. So as we recognize this, we understand we need to manage our own capacity of caring and loving well. We need to manage what it is that we are responsible for, and we need to manage and understand what God is ultimately responsible for as well. As we put that into that context, that helps us realize how free we really are and how we are seriously indebted and need of God to do what only He can do. The other thing that this shows us when we think about these are the things is that it also tells us that we can honor our own limits. There's a freedom there in this verse. Just like there's always freedom in Christ, there's this freedom here of honoring our own limits. I don't like the word limits. I don't like the word limits when it's in the context of speed. I don't like the idea of limits in the context of I only have a limited amount of time because there's so much I want to do and so many people to see. I don't like limits. But limits are good. Because limits help us recognize our frailty. They help us recognize as well our need and our desperation. And limits also help us recognize the powerful God who has no limits. And when we engage with Him, we become a part of this freedom and this power that has no limits. But first we recognize our own limits. And we say, I can't do this, God, but you can. I don't have the time for this, but you do. I can't be there all the time, but you can. So we recognize these are the things that I can do. Oftentimes, when I'm working with someone, I often say a statement similar to this one. I would love to be with you in this right now and know that I will be praying for you. Right now, at this time, these are the things I can do with you or for you. And these are the times of the day or the night I can be available. So if you need anything within the context of those things that I just mentioned I can do, you can call me at these times, or you can text me at these times. Very specific, very contained, but also very open and caring. You see what I mean? These are the things that I'll be doing. As we talk about this and we recognize our limits, we see so many spiritual disciplines that God has given us through Scripture. You know, the first one that comes to mind might be the practice of Sabbath. Sabbath is a great spiritual discipline of recognizing, setting apart a time when we are going to delight in God, when we are not going to work, and we are going to honor those limits and say, God, I'm not going to do it, but I know you are, and you already got this. Another great spiritual discipline, I think, that recognizes limits that we have, but acknowledges the limitless nature of God, is the discipline of tithing. I only have so many resources. God, we know God. He has no limits to his resources. So when I recognize that and I say, God, this is what I do have, and this is how I do want to partner with you, and this is what I do believe is yours anyways, so here you go, just take it. I know you got all what I need just waiting back to give to me, so here you go. We honor those limits in relationships just as much as we do in spiritual disciplines. So that, I think, is all packed in this portion here of these are the things I'll be doing for them. It's quite a bit. So let's run it back. So we think about engaging with God and then engaging with others. And then we talk about responding skills and developing those skills so that we can engage well with others where they're at and help them to engage to God. And then we manage our own rhythm, our own limitations, our own pace of loving well and coming alongside and helping others. And lastly, as we look at this last portion in here, Isaiah says, sticking with them, not leaving them for a minute. I love that. Again, we really recognize that that's God who is doing that. Because how many times are you loving somebody well, or you're helping someone in the midst of pain or crisis, and you recognize, yeah, I can't be with you 24/7 as much as I would like to. I'm recognizing my limits for that. I'm understanding my capacity for that, but I'm also understanding that God is with you. So let me help you see this God that is with you. Let me understand what's going on in your life so that you can see that I empathize with you. I love you so much that I want to get it, and I want to help you understand the person who does get it. So let's connect to that God together. Let's figure this out together. I think one of these things in here is we recognize we have to have other people with us. You guys here, you're here on a Wednesday night, so that tells me a couple of things. It tells me you love God. It tells me you love people. And as you love people in this, it also tells me you guys have a sense of a family here. Even just walking in here, we've only been here 2 or 3 times, but it feels like family in here. So you guys have a gift here amongst yourselves that you don't have to do any of this alone. You do have other support with you. So that's really important when you're loving other people well. Even if it is just someone in your family, you have to have other people with you in that. People that you can talk to, people who can pray for you, but people who can remind you what path to take that's better than what you tried before that didn't work, or that can remind you of the path of just focusing on who you are in Christ and focusing on that God who is for you, with you, and is working all things together for your good. Even though you might not see it, even though you might not feel it, you know it. One of the really cool tools, it's fun to say, one of the cool tools we have in counseling with this, when we think about understanding your support connections, is understanding, again, the way that God has wired our brains with our heart. God has wired our brains to be such amazing, oh my goodness, it's so cool to think about how God has created our brains. But our brains are really frail, and they get us in trouble. Mine gets me in trouble a lot because I am a huge thinker, and I analyze, and I strategize. It's helpful for some things, but not in relationships. So when we think about how our brains might get in the way in a sense of a crisis situation or a sense when somebody's in pain or in need or hurt, oftentimes our brains will immediately tell us, okay, you need to fight this or you need to run for this. Which one are you going to choose? Choose now. Go. That's kind of how our brains work. Because our brains are wired to keep us out of pain. Doesn't really help the spiritual life that much, especially when we consider some of those scriptures that say, oh yeah, persecution, oh yeah, trouble, it's going to develop your character. Okay, doesn't work really well with our brains. So one tool we like to think about is the tool of I feel, but I know. Kind of like this also, being aware of sympathy versus empathy. When you're looking at understanding your support, you also want to think about, okay, where am I supporting myself? Where am I helping my mind to be renewed? So I may feel as if I have no one with me right now. I may feel as if I have no clue what's going to happen or how God's going to fix this. I may feel as if I can't even think about anyone who does like me right now. You know, sometimes those thoughts go there, right? So I may feel as if this, but I know. And then over here, this is the power pack. It starts out kind of slow sometimes, especially when your brain's over here and I feel all this. Then you go, but I know that God loves me. Yeah, at that point, you don't really feel that. You don't really believe that. So to get that brain going in that track of really knowing, you have to know it and really believe it and feel it. So it has to be something more along the lines of the brain actually gets it. So I feel all these things, but I know that this is only temporary. I know I was here maybe last month and I kind of felt the same things, and then I stopped feeling that, so I felt better. So I know there's going to be an end to this. In fact, I know that God has already preordained a new thing. He actually says that in Scripture. So I know that there's a new thing coming. You see how you can take it from this is what I'm feeling right now. This is how it actually begins to actually feel all that goo, all that stickiness. But this is what I know. And then when you take it over here, you acknowledge what's actually happening. You acknowledge the humanity. You acknowledge the reality. You acknowledge and affirm what's really going on for that other person. And you say, yeah, I'm with you. I feel it. I'm there. Let's come over here now. But what do we know? We'll start off slow. What do we know? And then we'll eventually get to that place of, oh, but we know that God is with us. We know that God is for us. I have no doubt of that. It might take a while, but you'll get there. That's why having others in it with you as you're helping someone, as you're loving someone well, is so important, right? So let's take this and kind of begin to wrap it up here. In science and in counseling, we do a lot of philosophy 101. Do you guys remember this class? It was that if-then class, if this, then that. So let's break down these four things of engaging, developing, managing, and understanding. So if we are able to engage with God and let him deal with our own stuff within us, then we are freer to engage with others. I like that one. So if we can then engage with others and help them see who God is and who God is for them and with them, then those people can then go out and share to others who God is. That's even better. I like that one too. So let's keep it going. So then if we are able to develop our own responses, so we know what to say, we know when to say it, we know how to say it, we actually then model the compassion of Christ. I kind of like that one too. That's pretty cool. So if... two more. If we are able to manage our own pace and our rhythm of loving well and coming alongside others, then we will actually go the distance in the calling and the purpose God has on our own lives. And we will live in that power that God has for every day for us. And last one, if we are able to understand the support God gives us and those who are with us to support others, then We teach those we come alongside and love well how to come near to God and how to invite others into healthy, helping relationships. That one sounds a little bit like a verse kind of maybe Matthew 28. Do you guys know that one? So I think applying these practices will allow you to boldly love without those silly hindrances of time, without those silly hindrances of not knowing what to say or how to say it or how to actually engage or what does that even look like, or that hindrance of the own stuff, whether it's the fear or the anxiety or your own story or your own pain getting in the way of you loving someone else just as well as Christ has loved you. So while I might have started out saying I'm just an ordinary person with an extraordinary God, we do have these ordinary days, don't we, when we do get surprised of loving someone else well. So the last thing I want to leave you with is the thing I do in coaching. I want to remind you of who you are. I want to remind you that you walk with purpose and you walk with power. Amen? You also bring eternal hope to people and current power for transformation in and through the power of Christ that is within you. Amen? I don't think y'all believe that one. So I'm going to try again. So you actually bring the eternal hope of Christ. You bring the current power for transformation of this Christ that lives within you to every situation. Amen? Okay, that's a little better. Now, when ordinary people like us love people well, guess what happens? We see the extraordinary God who loves us bring his results into our everyday lives. And lastly, everywhere you go, friends, you bring heaven to earth. Think about that. You bring heaven to earth. You bring the power of Christ, the hope of Christ, that everlasting peace and faithfulness of our God to earth. You bring heaven to earth. When you get up tomorrow morning and your alarm goes off, we have one of those beep, beep, beep alarms. I hate it. When that goes off, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about you bring heaven to earth. And then I want you to think, yeah, I kind of don't feel it right now. I'm really tired. I hate my alarm clock. I'm not that excited about what I'm going to do today. But what do you know? What do you know when you get up and that stupid alarm starts singing? Or you get up and you're like, yeah, okay, let's do this. That's what you know. You know this God has brought you here for a purpose, and you know that you bring this heaven to earth. Amen? So every single person that you see, you can engage with them. You can help them engage to God. You can develop your skills so that you can be a better engager, a better lover of people. You can manage your own rhythm, and you can understand how you're not in it alone, but that God is in it with you. Always. What do you guys think? You go for it? All right. Well, as you walk out tonight, before I close this, my portion with a blessing, I'm not sure if Pastor Mike is going to come back up or not, but I want to encourage you. We have these little cards out on a table outside. I'd like to give you a free resource. Most of us deal with stress, anxiety, or a little bit of panic every once in a while. So if you sign up on these little cards and put your email list down, I'll send you a free resource of how to deal with anxiety and stress with others, not on your own. Okay? So let me, if you don't mind, may I put a blessing over you from Numbers? Okay. Well, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face to you and give you peace. Thank you, friends.
hope you got some good things from that. And very, very important to be able to take and relate not just to God. Many folks are really good at doing this, but not always so good about doing this. And so we need to be learning more and more how to relate to people. And so we appreciate you sharing, Liz. We appreciate the work you guys did also Dominican Republic. May that work just be breathed on and keep on going forward with God's help and grace. We're going to receive a love offering now for this ministry tonight. So I'm going to ask the ushers one more time to hand out offering envelopes as well. These people come in here with no obligation as far as finances go, but I know they have needs like all of us do. So please, if you could, be generous tonight in this love offering. If you make out a check tonight, make it out to Tree of Life Church. We'll make sure all of that does go to Liz and also to David before they leave his place tonight. Please, again, look at those resources back there on the back table. And we may have you guys coming back here for more extended, like, seminar-type thing, because I know there's folks in our congregation that would like to be able to delve more and more into being intern, being trained to be counselors. I've just seen as I've gone around local churches all over the country, there's a tremendous need for qualified, Spirit-led Christian counselors in the churches. Amen. A lot of us get the Dr. Phil stuff, which is Dr. Phil's got a lot of good things to say, just like Dr. Laura did as well. But we need that spiritual dynamic also married with that, that can bring in some spiritual dynamics, some discernment, and also point people towards God, who knows everything, who can do everything, who's all powerful, and brings in that element that brings in what I've seen time and time again face to face. God actually brings in a complete healing of spirit, soul, and body in people's lives. That not anybody as a human can do that. And so that spiritual element there, I've seen God break bondages, break walls, bring in forgiveness, bring in brokenness. It actually brings in a complete sound healing in the soul of people that, again, no book can do that, no human can do that. And I appreciate you for the work you guys have done and are doing also in your life and ministry. Let's go ahead and pray over this offering. Let's pray over this couple as well, that God's blessings be upon them. Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for David, for Liz, for all they have done they could not talk about tonight because of time. We just praise you, God, that your hand is on them for the future. We pray you'd open up more and more doors to them of effective ministry and service. We declare that all of their needs are met according, Father God, to your riches and glory through Jesus Christ. We praise you for people, God, that come around them to stand with them through thick and thin. And also, Father God, we thank you for lasting fruit, for increased vision, and increased impact. We thank you, Lord God, the favor of God, your favor increases in their lives to bring them, oh God, the blessings that you have in store for not just for them, but those they will touch in the days ahead. May you take what is released, oh God, tonight in this offering that be used, oh God, for your glory. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. God bless you, ushers. You help us out here now in this offering. Again, make sure you do get your email address to Liz, as she mentioned there. I know she'll follow up with that. I still have some anxiety. Many of you, from being a pastor of a church, you guys cause a lot of anxiety. Amen. So I'm going to be the first one to sign up there on that email list. But no, we actually are very, very blessed. We actually pastored a church for 3.5 years in Wichita, Kansas. You'd be amazed at how you Texans are superior to the Kansans we actually were with in so many ways. Cultural, I'm not sure what the deal is there, but there was some fine folks in Kansas. I was raised there as well. But we've been very, very blessed. As she mentioned here, there is a family atmosphere in this place. There's a healthy atmosphere in this place. There's a loving atmosphere in this place. And so I know that the main reason God does that, not for us to pat ourselves on the back and say, look how healthy we are, is because God builds a net to bring in all the fish that are out there in the ocean. Now, I've said it time and time again, when fishermen lob those nets out there and bring the nets back in, sometimes they bring in creatures that have got spines, they've got stingers, they've got big, sharp teeth, and that's the kind of people that God wants to bring in places like this so we can take and clean them and minister to them and see them get healed up and become people that are smooth-skinned and actually palatable to humanity and for God's kingdom. Amen. So praise God for what he's doing here among us with this. All right. Well, you guys, we'll let you be dismissed here in a moment. I'm going to go ahead and call upon A.D. Lucero to go ahead and pray for us tonight, if you don't mind doing that, in a prayer of dismissal. And you guys just linger as long as you want for the service. If you are, again, a first-time guest, welcome tonight for being here. Make sure we get that card back if we can do that also before you leave the place tonight. If you can, come back Sunday morning. I'm going on to this series here again about being stable, about stability. And so please come back to that if you can as well. It's also going to be Cheryl's last time to be with you guys for about 21 days. So try to come back Sunday, say goodbye to her. She's going off to South Africa and not leaving me, because I'm going to be chasing her down 4 days later. I'm going to Zambia, then to South Africa, and I'll be meeting up with her as well. But she'll be saying goodbye to us after Sunday service. So try to make sure you say goodbye to her this weekend coming up. All right. God bless you, AD, if you help us out.
Her and her family, Father, use them mightily to raise up an army.